Hey, this is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. Hannah Duncan here with another Better Than Ever podcast. This week, we decided to pull our most recent event guest speaker, Dr. Sean Stevenson. On August 28th, 2019, Dr. Sean Stevenson suffered a serious head injury, which did result in his passing. We here at HCI have felt this loss deeply. The day that he passed away, Carrie, Stacy, Eric, and Bill sent this message to the team. Dear team, it is with great sadness and tears that we write to you to let you know of the passing of Dr. Sean Stevenson, one of the most inspirational people we've ever known. We chose Sean to be our speaker for several years at our live events, and he's become part of the HCI family. Sean's mission was to rid the world of insecurity. He walked his talk so thoroughly, being so purely himself through and through, to be the example he wished for the world. What a great, great man. Blessings, Eric, Stacy, Carrie, and Bill. I remember the first time I met Sean over a Skype meeting, and I was really nervous because he was kind of a big deal, and I was thinking like I was going to say something wrong or I was going to offend him or, you know, like just do something wrong or just look dumb or something like that. And it was really cold out that day, and I was wearing this kind of puffy vest, and I kid you not, the first thing he greeted me with was, "Hannah, are you wearing a life jacket? Is it flooding there? Are you okay?" He immediately broke my nerves, and from that moment on, he always teased me about our first Skype session. Sean was a funny guy. He really did know how to make an audience laugh, and he was so good about just breaking tension. Sean was the kind of person that is hard to forget. He made every single person he spoke to feel like they were important, and what they had to say was worth listening to. For somebody who had everything against him, he spent his entire life showing the world that every setback was an opportunity to do better, be greater, and fight harder for what you believe in. Sean, you will be missed at our next live event, but your legacy, your mentoring, and your kindness will always live on. Thank you for helping us dream bigger. Better Than Ever podcasters, I am honored to share with you Dr. Sean Stevenson at HCI Live.
May 20th, 2008, 10 p.m. The phone rings. Hello, Sean, you're on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. No, I'm not. Sean, you are on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Dude, no, I'm not. I'm in my kitchen and I'm not wearing pants. I am not on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Sean, dude, turn the television on. Okay, click. I was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Apparently, some of Jimmy's producers had come across an online commercial that I had put out for a product I was promoting, and they decided to air it on the show. And then Jimmy comes out, and he says to his live studio audience, "Hey, everybody, you think we should summon Sean Stevenson to the show this week?" I started screaming at the television, "Say yes! Say yes!" And they erupt with yes, and I was ecstatic. Raise your hand if you would like your company to be featured in front of millions of people on a late night talk show. Raise it up. Yeah. You see, at this time in my life, I had never had national exposure like that, and I was so excited. So that night, I went to sleep. I was so thrilled because I had a lot going on. I was launching my book, and I was still writing it, actually. And then the next morning, I got up, I booked my flights, and I flew to Los Angeles. And that evening, I gathered with a big group of my friends. And we were all in the green room at the time, and they had started the show. We're all sitting together when I hear a knock at the door, and it's the producers. They said, "Sean, it's time." And they led me down this long, dark hallway. And they got to a door that was 10 feet tall and had a giant rope on it. And when you pulled this door, the door would swing open. When you pulled the rope, the door would swing open and you would come out on stage on these cameras in front of millions of people. And right before they pulled the rope, I look over and I see one of the executive producers. She's got fear in her eyes. And she comes over to me and she whispers in my ear the following statement. "Sean, so the other guest this evening is Johnny Knoxville from Jackass. And Johnny Knoxville and Jimmy Kimmel have worked out a skit to make fun of you and your product, and I just wanted to give you a heads up." They pulled the rope. The door swung open, and I rolled out on stage as if in slow motion. Raise your hand if you would be scared shitless. Anybody? What would you do? What would you say, right? Well, that moment is the moment I realized you better master your emotions. You all need to learn how to master your emotions and manage your fears by overcoming these fears that keep showing up both from the external world and the internal world. I am no stranger to fear. I am no stranger to doubters and haters. I've always faced the skeptics. Raise your hand if you've ever had somebody doubt you. Keep your hand up if they're sitting in your chair. See, I've been facing the doubters and the haters my whole life. When I was born, the doctors told my parents I would be dead within the first 24 hours of my life. I'm happy to report. 40 years later, all those doctors are dead. And I am the only doctor that remains. That goes over really well everywhere but hospitals. Doctors are like, "Yeah, wait, what?" But you need to learn to master your emotions, because most of you are letting your emotions master you. And this is the conundrum of being a human being, the part of you that makes you so colorful, that people love about you. Your ability to reach the spectrum of emotion is also what drives you nuts. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And because this is a predominantly female audience, I'm here to tell you, never feel bad for any of your emotions. Never apologize for having emotion. Because if you've ever come across somebody, I know nobody in this room can relate, but have you ever come across somebody that says, "You're a little too much"? I've been too much my whole life. And you gotta be too much if you wanna spark a revolution. You cannot play small in your life if you want to have an incredible existence. I'm gonna teach you right now, just quickly, how to make sure you never feel doubt, fear, or any insecurity. Ready? Here it is. Get ready to write this down. Don't do anything. You're gonna be fine. No insecurities. I'm just over here not doing shit. That's what I do. But But if you want an incredible and extraordinary life, raise your hand if you want an extraordinary life. Yes. If you want an extraordinary life, then you're going to need to play big. My license plate on my car is play big because and then I hop out as like a 3-foot tall guy, right? But you gotta play big in your life, and that means you gotta be constantly outside of your comfort zone. You gotta be doing things that make you scared all the time. Because if you feel like you know everything that's gonna happen next, I promise you, your dreams are too small. I like to make sure that my dreams are so big, they make everybody else uncomfortable. I have visions for my life that make people uncomfortable because they say, Sean, how are you going to do that? And what I tell them doesn't make them feel good at all. I go, I don't know. Write this down. The how shows up when you're all in. And not a moment sooner. The how shows up when you're all in and not a moment sooner. But that means you're gonna have to get outside your comfort zone. That means you're gonna have to do the things that scare you. You know, every time I went to the next level in my business, it's because I usually wrote a check to come to an event, join a mastermind, do something that I was like, what am I doing here? And then you get there, and it's not even the event that changes your life. It's that you were all in that changed your life. You didn't kind of leave a little bit of your, you know, like in poker, you didn't leave a couple chips in your pocket, like, I'm going to save this, that this coaching thing doesn't work out. I'm going to say things to you that might make you uncomfortable, and you're welcome, okay? And the first thing I'm going to say that might make you uncomfortable is, you gotta be comfortable with not having every single detail of how until you're all in. When you're all in, the universe goes, oh, I got you, but not a moment sooner. Remember, I said I was writing a book at that time in 2008, and I promised my publisher at the time that I was going to get Tony Robbins to write the foreword to my book. And the publisher's like, uh-huh, sure. I'm like, Tony Robbins is going to write the foreword to my book. And they're like, how do you know that? I said, because when I met him, when I was a kid, I asked him at his event once, hey, if I ever write a book, will you write the foreword? And Tony was like, sure, you ever write a book, kid, I'll write the foreword. Many years went by, and I thought, I'm going to see if this man has his word, if he's a good man of his word. And so I told my producers, now, like, about 17 years went by between that question and when I needed to write this book. And I wrote this book, and the publisher was like, all right, it's time for the foreword. And now I'm all scared because I'm thinking, like, I don't have, you know, Tony Robbins' cell phone number, all right? I was in his audience of like 15,000 people. So I started every angle I could get to get back to Tony Robbins to see if he could write this foreword. And apparently Tony Robbins is kind of busy, okay? Your better chance of getting like the Pope to write your foreword, okay? And so I went every angle, security guards, attorneys, personal assistants, every gatekeeper I could go to. Hey, Tony Robbins, when I was a kid, said I could write the foreword. Uh-huh, sure he did. Okay, Tony. And nobody was believing me. And then people would say, okay, we believe you now, but he's busier now, so it's not going to happen for you. And this is what I mean by all in. I told my publisher, I said, I'm going to get you this foreword. And he said to me, if you don't get it to me by tomorrow morning, we're pulling your book. You will not have a published book. And I thought, I'm all in. And I went to bed that night. And I drained my body of my doubts. I drained myself of my fears. And I said, I don't know how, but whoever listening to me, whatever energy is out there, whatever is way bigger than me that my brain can't even comprehend, I ask that you create some magic tonight, because tomorrow morning, I need a forward. Raise your hand if you've ever been happy. You don't have to be happy right now. Okay. Raise your hand if you've ever been sad. Raise your hand if you think you're sexy. I have some bad news for some of you. And the bad news is I caught you looking around for approval. Am I sexy? I don't know. Something I have learned is all human beings share one thing in common. We all have emotion. I want you to write down this tweetable moment. Ready? Emotion is the currency of humanity. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're going to go to. Doesn't matter what color their skin is. Doesn't matter what their sexual preference, their gender, their identity, their hair, their nationality, their religion, it doesn't matter what they bring to the table. If they are a human being, they got emotion. Barring neurological dysfunction, we all have emotion. We've all been happy. We've all been sad. We've all been scared. But when we learn how to master our emotion, we can get through what I call the squirm. And we all deal with that squirm. The squirm is when we go all in and we're scared. The squirm is when we tell people, I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to be a speaker. I'm going to launch this book. And we tell everybody, and that's when the squirm kicks in. Because then people are like, yeah, sure you are. Show it to me. Prove it to me. And then sometimes you don't get proof right away. Raise your hand if you have a vision that you don't have proof for yet. Yeah, welcome to the experience. And that's why you're here. You're here because you're going to build up the momentum to get the proof to show that your vision wasn't crazy. You have to have that vision, and you have to be all in, because your emotion, when you learn to master your emotion, your life changes. And you can't just master your own emotion. You have to learn how to influence other people's emotions. You know, people come up to me all the time after my speeches, and they say, Sean, how many lives do you think you've changed? And I always say the same thing. One. And I struggle with that son of a bitch. I only change me. I can't change you. You have to change you. And for so long, I took the responsibility for your life. I was like, unless everybody leaves every event that I'm speaking at, change forever, making millions of dollars, getting in great shape, having great sex, if they don't do all of these things, I am a failure. That was my old MO. That was my rule, that if you didn't have a massive transformation, it was my fault. Raise your hand if you've ever taken responsibility for another human being. It doesn't work. You cannot take responsibility for another human being's emotions. You can be responsible for your children. You can be responsible for your marriage, for your car, your belongings. That's wonderful. But you cannot be responsible for another human being's emotions. You'll go crazy. Raise your hand if you've ever tried to help somebody that didn't want your help. Right? And in those moments, you have to remind yourself, I am only responsible for influencing their emotions. I cannot control them. You know, I learned something not too long ago that really set me free emotionally. Because as coaches, speakers, healers, however you orient yourself in your own internal image, I know you want to help everybody. But not everybody wants help. I know you want to help everybody, but not everybody wants help. So how do we know who to help? Well, I recently came across the Coast Guard motto. The Coast Guard is a fascinating division of our military. They go out into waters when it's horrible shipwrecks, and they have their helicopters, and they float above these ships that are going down in a shipwreck, and they see all these people in the water, and they lower down a basket, and they lower down one of the Coast Guard members that swims toward people. Do you know, because they only have a few seats in the helicopter, who they save? They have a motto. I can only save those who swim toward me. Who is not swimming toward you? And human beings, we fake that we're swimming toward people. Oh, hey, I want help. Why are you treading water? Come toward me. You gotta meet me. And you have to let people know in your life, I can only help you if you're willing to help yourself. Because another painful lesson I had to get as a coach, as a speaker on this planet, is that I can't want something more for somebody than they want for themselves. I've also learned that human beings, we're fascinating creatures, and we oftentimes can fake that we want help, but we aren't willing to swim toward people. You cannot waste your energy on this planet trying to save people that are not swimming toward you. You can always be a good influence. Raise your hand if you have children. Okay? I know how much you love them. I know how much you want to be an incredible support system to them. But I'm going to tell you a piece of advice that is going to radically alter your relationship with them and make it better. Who is interested in this piece of advice? Okay. Some of you are like, I don't care about my kids, Sean. Gave up a couple years ago. Christmas 2012, screwed everything up. Here's the advice. You want to have a massive influence on your child's life? Be the best example for them. Be the best example for them. Because everybody wants to know, Sean, what should I tell my children? Everybody's looking for the magic lecture. But here's the painful truth. Your kids aren't listening to you. It's obvious to everybody but you. Your kids aren't listening to your brilliant lectures. But they're watching you like a hawk. Finish this sentence. Monkey see?
Monkey do.
We know this, but are we practicing this? And not just for your children, but your team of people that work with you, your customers, your spouse, your friends, complete strangers in your community, we're all watching you far more than you realize. And we're trying to see, do you believe what you tell other people to do? Because they're not going to believe you, but they're going to look and see if you believe yourself. And that's the biggest thing. You know, they say, walk your talk. Well, I don't walk my talk. I wheel my spiel. That's what I do. And it's not always easy. Sometimes in life, people doubt you. Sometimes people say, oh, it's not fair. In fact, I had this one moment a couple of years ago, back when I was a single man. I would go out to the nightclubs to meet the ladies. I am a phenomenal dancer. And I would get these dance circles around me on the dance floor, concentric circles of women around me, just having fun. And everybody's like, what is with this little man? Is he like a leprechaun? Is he gonna bring the Lucky Charms? What's going on here? One day, we're out in the club. My buddy comes over to me, super jealous of how much attention I'm getting from all the women. And he proceeds to tell me, he says, Sean, listen, I think I figured you out. I said, oh, yeah? What'd you figure out? He said, I think I figured out why all these women love dancing with you and have all this fun with you. And I go, oh, do tell. He said, they feel sorry for you. I'm like, okay, tell me more. He said, well, I think they see that you're little and in this wheelchair and they must be difficult to be you, so they want to just cheer you up by giving you attention and dancing with you. So I think really the reason why all these women dance with you is because they feel sorry for you. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. All right, we're going to do a little experiment tonight. A little scientific experiment. You ready? He's like, yeah. I go, I'm going to go back out on that dance floor. And I'm not going to act like Sean. I'm going to act like a 3-foot-tall man in a wheelchair. And let's see what happens. He said, okay. Now I'm wheeling back to the dance floor like, shit, how does a little man in a wheelchair act? And I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, he'd probably be afraid of his own shadow, right? He would he'd bring his energy in, and he'd be real shy. He wouldn't make any eye contact. And so then, as I pulled my energy in, I didn't make any eye contact, women just started walking around me as if I was furniture. And I was like, And my buddy comes running up to me. And he said, Sean, I get it now. I go, oh, what did you get? He goes, you bring the party. He goes, it's your attitude. It's your energy that magnetically brings these women in. Now, can you please go back to acting like Sean? So we can have all the girls back. He's no longer in my life. I don't got time for doubters. And you know, when I look at my own life, I believe that I am responsible for teaching you how to treat me. I am responsible for teaching you to treat me with respect. How do I do it? By being a great example of what it looks like when you're respectful. See, when people tell me, they come up to me and they go, Sean, I don't know why, but nobody respects me. I don't respect you. Stand up tall. Look me in the eyes. Puff out your chest. Own your land. Be proud of your airspace and create a party for me to be a guest at. You all have to see that your emotions impact your attitude and your attitude impacts your life. When people are like, oh, I don't understand why I can't get any sales. I don't understand why people don't want to work with me. It's what you're emanating. I'm going to prove that to you right now. Now imagine that 3 employees from this resort came in here, one at a time. The first employee saw us being all shy and then left. The second employee saw us all arrogant and then left. And then the third employee came in and saw us all connected and warm and loving. Some of you look like you hadn't been touched in a while. And then that third employee went out in the hallway and they all talked about HCI and this conference. Would they have three different opinions about us? But yet we are all atomically the same group of people, but they would disagree vehemently with each other. Why? Because we made different choices. And I know you've used that word choices with your kids, but are you modeling it? You want your children, raise your hand if you want your children to be in a happy, loving marriage someday, okay? Then guess what? Y'all need to be in a happy, loving marriage. And if you're not in one, find one. And that's up to you how that works. But I have so many people come to me and they're like, Sean, you don't understand. I loved everything you said, but you haven't met my husband, right? And then I'm like, listen, then you need to clean it up with him, get on the same page, have a blast, or move on. Because as hard as that might be, I'm going to be really painfully honest with you. Your children are better off being from a broken home than in one. And I see, I've been a professional speaker for 25 years, but I am most proud of being a professional listener for the last 18 years as a board-certified therapist. And I can tell you, I've sat with people and I've listened to them say, Sean, I love my children. I would die for my children. Raise your hand if you would die for your children, but are you living for them? Are you showing them what a happy life looks like? Are you showing them what love looks like? Are you showing them what a healthy body image looks like? Oh. I'm going to tell you something about body image. The body you have is the body you need for you to do what you came here to do. I have so many people tell me, oh, Sean, it's just, you're such an inspiration. I can't imagine what I would do in your condition. And my attitude is, you're acting like you got a better body than me. You didn't get a better body than me. You got a different body than me. Because I can do things. I can do things with this body y'all can't do. For one thing, I don't have to do anything to get you to remember me. You now have seen Sean Stevenson. I'm going to be with your memory for life. I'm like herpes to your soul. You can't scrub me out. And you know what that's called? That's called marketing gold. There is a reason why I believe I chose this container, because it's a part of my mission. Because if I look like you, you couldn't hear me. If I looked like you, you couldn't hear me. I had to roll on this stage with this container, with this attitude. There was contrast of what most people might think to get that message to burn deep inside of your mind that you have to master your emotions, that you have to help those that are swimming toward you, that you have to be responsible for the attitude and the energy you keep. All of this is a part of the full package. And I'm here to tell you, I have created a formula that I want to give to you today that is going to give you the ability to be completely unstoppable. Raise your hand if you'd like to be unstoppable. This one formula is going to allow you to lead an extraordinary life. This one formula is what's going to allow you to play big. Raise your hand if you want to play big. It's a three-part formula. And I developed it while I was working with my clients as a therapist. because I would see that some people would, they would come to therapy, and I have a very unique therapy practice where I see a client for 12 hours in a row, and then usually never again. And this 12-hour period, we peel back the layers, the facade, where you're lying to yourself, where you're playing small, where you're afraid. And then I give you the tools and I send you back out into the world. And what I've found is that some people go on to flourish and some don't. And I started looking into that because I felt like, oh man, what maybe am I doing? Like, why don't I have a 100% track record of everybody feeling amazing for the rest of their life? And then I found that there's three things you have to do to be completely unstoppable in your life. And these three things apply to each and every one of us, myself included. When I violate this my own formula, I pay the consequences, just like you. Number one, you gotta handle your insecurities. You gotta deal with your insecurities. And the best way to deal with your insecurities, it's gonna be super crazy for your mind, but the best way to deal with your insecurities is through self-care. Repeat after me. The cure to insecurity is self-care. Security, insecurity, and self-care, and this is so powerful because what I found is when a human being is working on themselves through their mind, their body, their spirit, when they are doing incredible, what I call impeccable self-care, what I find fascinating is their insecurities don't have any control over them anymore. Because here's the biggest lie in the personal growth movement, and I'm scared sometimes to share it. And that is, your insecurities never go away. They don't. They remain dormant if you have impeccable self-care. If you take great care of yourself, your insecurities will go to sleep and stay to sleep. Because you want to know something? Your insecurities are not these evil, horrific things. They're actually a part of your evolutionary brain that for years kept us alive. That said, oh, there's a tree moving over there. It might have a saber-toothed tiger. Run that way. But you know what? There aren't any saber-toothed tigers anymore. And most of you are so scared, you're in fight and flight mode all the time. Your insecurities are feeling like, I'm not enough, I'm not doing enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not thin enough. And then it feels like something's in the bushes and we're so scared. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And the way that you calm that madness is having incredible self-care. I have a system that I put together that's very clear. I call it my When Life Works list. And all it is a series of 16 self-care items. And I don't do all of them a day, but the more of them I do, the more my insecurities remain dormant. And it's amazing. If you are out of control and you're feeling like your insecurities are eating you alive, work on your self-care list. Tonight, before you go to bed, make your When Life Works list. Figure out, what do you need to do for your life to work? I'm going to show you, if you guys are good, at the end of my talk here, I'm going to show you something that I do on my self-care list to make my life work. And there's a lot of things on my list. Things like reading. I read a book a week. Everybody go, ooh, right? I know. Now, I set that as a New Year's resolution this year, and we are on week 17, and I have read 2 books. No, I'm just kidding. I've read 17 books, and that's because at the end of last year, I was like, you know what? I'm always talking about like wanting to expand my knowledge base. I'm going to become more of a lifelong learner. I'm going to start reading more. I'm going to start joining more groups. I'm going to try to expand my mind, and that's a part of self-care. What are you doing to be a lifelong learner? And it's about reading, it's about joining groups, it's about watching inspiring content that feeds your mind, your body, your soul. Raise your hand if you love taking a hot bath. I am mad that the females have pretty much grabbed that one for their own. I'm upset. If you tell your buddies, yeah, dude, just taking a bath right now. Don't worry, there's a boat in here, so it's all good. A little toy boat, so it's manly. But a hot bath is on my When Life Works list. When I'm getting overwhelmed, when I feel radically out of my comfort zone, when my insecurities are banging at the door, if I take a hot bath and I read a good book, and I'll maybe put on Enya and put in some bubbles, if I do these things, and I take care of myself, my insecurities remain dormant. You have to be in charge of your self-care. Number two, you need to align with your life purpose. Align with your life purpose. I have an incredible set of mentors, and I believe that nobody can climb to the top in any industry, any area of life, without having phenomenal mentors. And if you do, you're just gonna make it so hard on yourself and be so exhausted. I want to hang out with people that can tell me the turn-by-turn directions. Because they always say, oh, first-hand experience is the best experience. No, it's not. No, second-hand is. If you tell me that stove is on, I don't have to be like, well, I don't know if you're lying. I don't need to do that if I have a trusted group of people around me. And so this is why I have a group of mentors. And I was hanging out with one of my mentors. I actually flew from where I am to Dallas, where he was. And all I did was take a limo ride with him from his house to the airport. That's the only amount of time I got with him. And that's okay, because I said, I don't need a ton of time. I just need to run some ideas. I got some questions. Can I get a little bit of your time? And he said, if you ride with me from my house to the airport, I'll answer any questions you want. So I flew down there. I'm in the limo with him. And he turns to me and he asks me a question that forever changed my life. He said, Sean, why were you born? And I was like, because my mom and dad did it. Have you ever said something stupid and then the person you say it to acts like it never even happened? And they ask you the question again. He said, why were you born? And I did something that my wife has taught me to do. Mindy is amazing. She teaches me to get out of my head and drop into my heart. Because the heart has no questions, and the head has no answers. I dropped into my heart. I was born to rid this world of insecurity. And he said he could feel the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. And he said, yes, you were, Sean. Because if anybody was to show up in a container that we would all listen to and believe that we do not need to be insecure, it would be you. Now go spend the rest of your life living out that mission. Don't do anything that's not on that mission. So I'm gonna ask you that question now. Why were you born? I want you to be thinking about that answer. I want you to be asking yourself that question over and over until you have an answer that makes the hairs on the back of people's necks stand up. Because when you align with your life purpose, you get God's caffeine in your veins. It's in your soul. When your eyes open up in the morning, you're not just waking up for you anymore. You're waking up for that purpose. You see, I didn't just get out of bed this morning for Sean's delight. I got out of bed for humanity. I got out of bed so that you could hear this message clearly. And when I get out of bed with a much bigger vision than it just being about me, I can't be stopped. The only thing that is going to stop me on my mission is death. And if I do this right, it's going to keep on going. Each and every one of you, if you align with your mission, whatever that is, it will outlive you. It will be permeated into the fabric of humanity through your children, through your clients, through your spouse, through your writings, through your videos, through your talks, through your coaching. It will show up and it will resonate and it will raise the frequency of this planet. Each and every one of you needs to align with your life purpose. It will give you strength. And the third and final one in this unstoppable formula, it is the hardest one. Everybody thinks it sounds the easiest, but it ends up being the hardest. And that is, only surround yourself with empowering people. Only surround yourself with empowering people, because I believe one negative drag on your mind and your heart could derail your destiny. One negative, cynical, doubting person always in your ear being like, I wouldn't do that. I don't think that's for you. That's not going to happen. And they just keep whispering these things. Guess what happens? These people don't have influence over us when we're feeling amazing. We see the contrast. When we're feeling amazing, like you guys will come over to this conference, somebody will bring that attitude, and you'll be like, you didn't meet Sean Stevenson, did you? I'm unstoppable. No, that's not when they're going to have an influence over you. They're going to have influence over you when a couple of months go by, and you start to doubt yourself. And maybe money gets a little tight for a little bit, or your health is wavering, or you can't move the scale, and you're frustrated, or you're having a fight with someone you love, and you're questioning yourself. And then those people start whispering in your ear, you're not enough, it's not gonna happen. And then you start to think, are they right? That's when negative people have control over us. When we are broken down, when we feel like we're at the end of our rope and we surround ourselves with negative energy, that's when it's the most dangerous. This is why you have to flush yourself. You have to rid yourself of people that are going to be the doubters and the haters. I believe that you got to look at yourself as a sporting team. And when somebody is treating you in a way that is not empowering, you got to warn them. You got to say, time out. Keep this up, you're going on the bench. And if you're on the bench talking this shit, you're off the team. And in the beginning, people will be like, oh, but they're family. I don't care. Listen, just because we share DNA does not mean you can disrespect me. And I see this a lot. We are responsible for teaching people how to treat us. And you can do this in a loving, non-militant way. You can just say, hey, here's how I need to be treated. I need you behind this mission. And if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, because I need empowerment around me. I have one friend in my life. I love him so much. He says, Sean, I don't like to tell people my dreams until I'm fully on board with them yet. Because I don't even want to see a little bit of an eyebrow go up that makes me wonder if they think it's possible. I got to be solid before I tell the world. And that's his boundary. And I love that. That works for him. For me, I got to tell everybody my shit. Because I need everybody to be like, you said it. You said you're going to write a book. Because we tell people we're going to write a book, and sometimes we tell people we're going to get a foreword by Tony Robbins. And we go to bed that night, and we think, this is out of my hands. I, I've tried everything. How am I gonna get a hold of Tony? If I can't get this forward, they're pulling the book. I'm all in. I went to bed. I drained the doubt. I drained the fear. And the next morning, I got up. And I opened up my laptop. And there was an email. And the email said, "Sean, the speaker in my living room is broken, and the subwoofer is not working either. Can you come over and fix it? Sincerely, TR." Excuse me? It was an email from Tony Robbins. Personal email from Tony Robbins. Apparently, Tony Robbins' guy that fixed his speakers in his house was named Sean. And when he was filling out his email to his speaker repairman, he clicked on the wrong Sean in his database. And I replied promptly, "Dear Mr. Robbins, I don't know anything about subwoofers, but I'm pretty sure that fate just aligned. Incredible opportunity. Remember when I was a kid and you met me and you said you would write the foreword to my book? Well, the book is due today. I need the foreword within the next 2 hours. Is there any way that you could write the foreword and send it over? Lovingly, Sean Stevenson." An hour later, I got the foreword to my book, written by Tony Robbins. And when I got that foreword, I printed it out. And I went into my publisher's office. The one had been doubting me the entire time. And I rolled in. I slammed it on his desk. And I go, "Don't you ever doubt me again." Because sometimes they pull that giant rope and that 10-foot door swings open. And I wheeled out on stage as if in slow motion. And on my right was Johnny Knoxville. And on my left was Jimmy Kimmel. And I took my mark on stage with my heart racing. And I thought, "Sean, master your emotions. You're a master of your emotions." And sure enough, Johnny Knoxville started in on me, making fun of me. And I'm thinking, I can't use comedy to shut him down. The two of these guys are famous comedian celebrities. That's not going to go over well to the masses. I can't use anger. I'll look defensive. And then a light bulb went on in my mind. And I turned to Johnny Knoxville. And I said, "Johnny, you know, I used to think you were a jerk." The audience grows silent. Jimmy Kimmel is like, "What?" Johnny Knoxville's like, "Excuse me?" And I said, "I used to think you were a jerk, but then I saw the movie The Ringer, and I saw what a beautiful light you put people with disabilities in. And I realized behind that whole persona of being a jackass, you have a heart of gold. And I wanted to thank you for that." And Johnny Knoxville, probably for the first time in his adult life, got a public compliment. And he sat up in his chair. He got into the lotus position. He puffed his chest out. He put a big smile on his face. And he didn't say another word for the rest of the show. And then I turned to Jimmy Kimmel and I took over the show. And I said, all these funny stories, and I all of a sudden was connecting with Jimmy, and he is loving it, and he reaches over his desk, and he, well, actually, we have a photo somewhere. Can we put up a picture? As you can see here, Jimmy Kimmel reaches over his desk, he hugs me, and he says, Sean Stevenson, I want to be your friend. And Johnny Knoxville over here in the blue, he is so proud. He is so proud. And that's when I realized, you better master your emotions. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.